就提前飞。
Welcome everyone to your ongoing journey or a leap into a new world of opportunity. Inside Japan Podcast is a stepping stone for your next adventure. It is a show filled with informative interviews, perspectives on local life, and how you can master your path into the unknown. For today, kick back and listen to the wisdom of our host, James.
James here, coming at you with episode number 133 of the Inside Japan podcast, brought to you as always by jobsinjapan.com, the best place you can go to get your resume online, to find yourself your first job in Japan, your next job in Japan, or your best job in Japan. And it has that all new video interview system that you can put on your resume so people can find you in a much easier way than just throwing out your resumes to the wind, my friends. Get yourself a video resume and people will find you. That's at jobsinjapan.com. And here I am, back at it again in my recording closet of my friend's house, as we are still in the process of getting myself a house here. It's being built as we speak. I drive by there once a week and I check it out. But yeah, still not done, so I'm still in this recording closet with a nice echo that comes along with it. I wish I could show you. Actually, I will take a picture of this room for the old Twitter to show you what I'm dealing with here, because it's a mess. But here we are, back at it. Because we have to. Quick programming note. So, of course, we will have a show next week. Christmas show. Not sure what I'm going to do there yet, but I'm going to find something for you. After that, we're going to go to a little bit of a change of programming. Not serious, but a little bit of a change. So we're going to do two podcasts a week that will go on jobsinjapan.com, and those will be, of course, heavily targeted at working in Japan. We will, however, do the other weeks of the month. Do two shows that might not be as targeted towards working in Japan. Of course, they will have to do with Japan, and it'll be me talking, of course. You can't get rid of me. But it will be something that's a little bit different. Maybe a little bit, I can be a little looser with the show, you know, the show's direction, I guess, right? And it probably will usually be a solo show, because I have some thoughts to share there. I find something interesting or something like that. So that's coming up next year. Of course, next week we'll have a show for December, for Christmas, and then we will do the annual 1 week off for the new year, and then we'll be back at it on December the 8th for the first show of the new year. So stay tuned for that, my friends. But this week, solo show, I had to do a solo show. I wasn't even planning on doing a solo show, but once I saw this, I knew, I had to do it. Because, you know, just everyone, all of us are at different stages in our, you know, Japan content, I don't want to say career, but you know what I'm saying, like, Japan content intake, right? For me, when I was wide-eyed and anchoring to move to Japan, I was watching everything I could. I was watching, you know, endlessly hours of stuff about, you know, apartment tours and all this. I couldn't get enough. I would watch all of it. Everything I could find on YouTube, I would watch it. And now, many years later, not even in Japan, I went to Japan and came back there and back again. Things are changed, obviously. So I don't watch as much as I used to, fair to say, right? I mean, I think you believe that. So I don't watch as much as I used to, as you might expect, right? I mean, I don't live in the country. I've already been through there. I did what I wanted to do there. And I, you know, various degrees of success, of course, but I'm not there anymore. So I don't watch as much as I used to. And of course, I still have many subscriptions on YouTube and podcasts about things I was following then, but I don't always get a chance to watch them, you know, and sometimes things come my way in other ways. People send me stuff and say, hey, James, what do you think about this? Check this out. So this one came from, actually, I believe it was on the ALT Insider Discord, which of course you should be a part of if you're not already. A place, the best place on Discord to talk about working in Japan. Someone put this in the self-promotion tab, a video. And I was like, okay, let me check it out. This is a guy that actually I had on the show many moons ago. Episode, I wrote it down for your recording pleasure. Episode 157 of the ALT Insider podcast. We're talking 3 years ago or something. And it was a story about how he went from Eikaiwa teacher to ALT manager. He did a lot of stuff and then went to computer programming stuff. Not sure what he's doing now, but it was a good episode, right? He moved, been in Japan a long time. And it was his episode. I actually met him in real life too at the ALT Insider meetup we did a few years ago, 2 years ago now, and then really cool guy. So I was like, all right, let me check out his video. And of course, like I was going in there saying, okay, he's going to talk about the, you know, he probably is going to say stuff that's the usual fare of, you know, either you know, complaining or you know, saying the usual, just describing the job or something like that. But this was not like that. This is definitely not like that. It was called, the title of the episode was called The Three Secret Truths About the English Dispatch Industry. And yeah, so I definitely started watching. And yeah, let me tell you, it was good. And I'm going to go into a little more. I don't want to just say everything he said because that would be stupid. I want you to stop what you're doing right now and go watch it. Of course, the link is on the show notes page, altinsider.com. Go watch it, please, because it's better than I can say here. But I just want to like kind of add on to that signal boost while also adding on to it, if that makes sense, because I definitely want you to watch his version. But I want to talk about my thoughts of what he said as well, because it's all good stuff. And it's one of those things where if this was something that every ALT watched before they started the job, everyone would be happier. Everyone in the whole chain, right? Everyone in the chain of the ALT world, dispatch company world. The companies would be happier, the ALTs would be happier, and the schools would be happier. That's the three most important people, right? They would be very much happier. So let's get to it, right? So the first one that he mentioned was the number one secret truth about the English dispatch industry is the reason that there is such a lack of communication. If you ever seen anything online, you know, people complain, maybe you yourself, which is no fault of your own. I remember feeling this as well. There's a huge lack of communication when it comes to the ALT position, right? You got a problem, you send someone an email, it takes 3 weeks to get back, and then nothing happens in the end, right? Or for example, oh my God, I can't believe this teacher is teaching this way. I wish they would change that. You send an email to your manager or whoever's in charge of you and tell them that, and nothing happens, nothing changes, right? This is a big problem in part of being ALT. It's one of the most unfun parts of the job for people that need that extra bit of, not only say hand-holding, because that makes it sound wrong. Sometimes people do have real problems that need help, but it's rare you're going to get help. And that's a tough thing for a lot of people in some certain situations. As we all know, every situation is different. The four famous letters by the jet cut situation. Every school, some schools, you know, ALTs really need support and help because things aren't good at the school. And sometimes, I venture to say, I'm getting closer and closer to saying, you know, pretty confidently that most situations are not like that. Most people are just kind of want that extra bit of help or need that extra bit of help. Because remember, a lot of people being an ALT, this is their first job outside of the country. This is their first job in general. It's tough, right? I understand that. So you need the extra bit of hand-holding, or not hand-holding is the wrong word, but support, right? When you send an email out to the people you're working for, you'd like to get a response back, and that doesn't always happen when you're ALT for sure. So, the video made, I didn't say his name, Artisaval, I would say Artisaval, I know that's not how you pronounce it, by the way, it's Arstavial, or Arstavial looks so wrong, but Arstavial is the name I'll go with, Arstavial. Of course, the links to his YouTube are on the show notes page. But he says the reason for that is, remember, he was an MC, or managing coordinator, whatever the acronym stands for of an ALT company. He knows why that happens, and I'm going to let him describe it here, because I was going to use his metaphor and try to explain it myself, because it's so beautiful. But I'll let him do it here. So I'm going to cut in a clip here of him describing a metaphor for the AKIO industry as a whole.
So here is secret truth number one. It's not that the company doesn't care about you. It's honestly that the company can't do anything to help you. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you hire a painter to come paint your house. First, you would have to call up a painting company and tell them, I want my house to be painted green. You'd work out the contract details, but eventually they would send a painter to your house. So of course you go to greet this painter and you start pointing out places on your house, paint this green, leave the trim white, you know, whatever. But you'd give them instructions on what to do. So this painter, they start painting the house green or blue or whatever color you want them to. But then a couple days later, you get a phone call from the paint company. And they say, well, our painter went out to your house, but we heard from them that you were quite rude when you told them what to paint and what not to paint, and they didn't like the colors that you chose. They don't think they look very good, and they noticed that when they looked in the window of your house and you were making sandwiches for your children, you didn't cut the crusts off of the bread. Well, our painter, he really thinks that you ought to be doing that, and you didn't cut them into triangles, and that might be a choking haphazard if you give them the whole sandwich. And furthermore, even if their gripes are legitimate, like let's say you were kind of rude to them or whatever, what are you going to do as the homeowner in that situation? Do you care at all what the painter thinks about the colors that you've chosen? Are you going to take into consideration whether or not you should cut the crusts off of sandwiches? No, you're going to tell the paint company to take the contract you made and to shove it. And unfortunately, this is basically the same with ALTs.
So there you go. I mean, it makes total sense, right? The company, they care about you, right? They want you to be happy in your position, of course, but they can't do anything, right? It makes total sense if you think about it that way, and you can, you know, you can, I'm not saying it'll make you feel better, but it'll make you at least understand why it happens, right? Like he said, if you hire a painter to paint your house, and the painter complains to his company about how you're doing things around your house, the company's going to be like, yeah, oh man, that's tough, but they don't have to do anything in the end, if they even give you an answer at all, right? Now again, I want to emphasize, this doesn't... You know, that's not an excuse for things when there is problems, right? And they're definitely, I've seen problems and heard of problems that ALTs do have in schools that are serious, sexual harassment, things like this, right? And like asking the ALT to do just insane things, like every day stay until six or something and stuff like that. That's legitimate, right? That is legitimate. I know ALT companies want to deal with those legitimate things. You know, and they usually do. I've heard a lot of cases where they do. I've heard of people getting moved for these problems. I've heard of a lot of people not getting moved as well. I'm not going to call it, you know, let's call it a spade here, but it does happen, right? So, you know, think about, remember this fact and you'll be happier as an ALT. Like, so just when you, so you go in, you know the score of the, you know the rules of the game, right? Dispatch companies are in the business of making money. That's not a negative thing. You're in the business of making money by working for them. Right, you're also in the business of living in Japan and stuff like, you know, you got things you got to remember is the Eikai was the dispatch company's job is to make the school happy, right? Hopefully that makes you happy as well, and they're going to do the best they can to make sure that does. But the number one thing they're trying to make happy is to get that contract. To get that contract, they need happy schools, happy JTEs, right? I've said it many times. If you want to be a good ALT that no one worries about, make sure your JTEs are happy. Because in the end, that's who you got to please. If you make all your JTs happy, they'll give a nice report to the school, and the dispatch company's happy, and they keep hiring you, right? So just remember the chain of command here. Not chain of command, but the rules of the game. The rules of engagement here as the English dispatch industry, right? Dispatch companies are created to give schools teachers. That means their job is to make BOEs, a Board of Education's, happy. They hire you to do the jobs at those schools, right? They have to make you happy a little bit because you have to want to work there, but they give you money to sweeten the deal. But in the end, the BOEs aren't happy. You're not going to, you know, they won't make money and dispatch company's going to die. You know what I mean? So, yes, you can get them an minutiae of the pay level and all that stuff. Of course. We all wish it was better. But in the end, that's the rules of the game. And you have a choice. Remember, this is the thing. You have a choice in most... I know. Every time I say this, when I say, like, you have a choice to be an ALT or not, I know... I'm breaking that topic here. I know there's some people out there in Japan that are kind of stuck, and they don't have a choice. Some people that, for some situation, got stuck in one city in this Inaka and are married and have kids, and they can't do anything else. And I promise you, I'm not trying to trivialize your position, because I know you're out there. I've gotten emails about it, and I know that. So I'm not trying to say that every single person out there has a choice, and if you choose to be an ALT, even though you don't like to practice, you're dumb. That's not right. I'm just saying, for most people that do have a choice, if you go in there knowing the rules, you'll be a much better time, right? The sooner you understand the rules of the game and what the goal of your employer is, you can start to do what you want, right? You can play by their rules, of course, but also, you know, don't do anything extra, right? You know, just do your job to the 100% and then get your paycheck and go. They're not asking for anything extra, actually, you know? Anyways, we'll get a wrap up at the end of this. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but that's number one. Why is there a lack of communication in English dispatch industry? And the reason is dispatch companies are working for BOEs in the end. You are just the people that help them facilitate that, right? Next. Trainings are boring. This is kind of that was kind of the most important one, by the way. So we're going to kind of less importance as we go here. But trainings are boring, right? And yeah, like you said in the video again, training has never been for you to actually learn how to be a better teacher. If that happens, that's great. But in the end, there are a number they can say to the BOEs that say, hey, RELTs get 4 trainings a year. And it just makes it sound a little bit better, right? A little bit better of a deal when, let's say, company ABC has 4 trainings a year, but company XYZ has 2 trainings a year. It's just another bullet point on the PowerPoint they can play in those little presentations they give to have BOEs pick their company, right? Remember, it all ties into getting BOEs to choose their company, right? And when they can make your ALT sound better, for whatever reason that is, whether it's get 10 trainings a year or 4 trainings a year or whatever, that's what they're going to do, right? So in the end, it's not about learning. It's about a bullet point on a PowerPoint slide that says, hey, our ALTs are the best because of this, right? Remember that, and you'll be able to sit there. It's a day out of school. Go to the training. Sit there. Raise your hand a few times to show you're not dead, and then just get on with it. I always liked training days because it was a day that I got out of school, a little change of pace. You got paid for it, and you just sit there. You don't have to do anything, right? Of course, they're boring and stupid and whatever, but it's fine. As long as you understand that, again, you'll be a much better, you'll be a much happier ALT, right? Be a much happier person working in Japan if you understand that trainings are stupid. It'd be nice if you didn't have to go, but you have to go. If you don't go, you just got to go back to school that day. So what? Come on. Think about it. Next, and the kind of the least important one, is being an MC or kind of manager of an ALT company. It's not fun. And I definitely remember in my young ALT days, I thought that job was cool. I was like, oh, wow, I can, you know, move up in the company. It's a dream to have as I want to be, you know, move my way up in the Japanese workforce and stuff. And yeah, their job sucks. I mean, you talk to anybody, if you're working at an ALT company now, ask your MC about his job and see what he says. You know, maybe he or she is the person that likes that. But most don't. You know, they got their long hours. They're basically on call all the time. And I never knew that until one just told me about how tough it was. And he just said, it's not a good situation. And I was like, oh, yeah, I want to do that, too. He's like, really think about it, because you might not want to, you know. He was in that job, and I said, like, I might want to do that one day. He's like, just really think about it. So whenever you hear that, you know, it's like, okay. You know, like, hey, yeah, I want to do your job one day, I think. So what kind of steps should I do to do that? He's like, well, think about it. You know, so I knew maybe that wasn't the best choice for me in the end, so. There you go. Another thing to keep in mind is that being an MC is not some goal that you could work towards. Does it look better on your resume? Probably. Is it going to help get you put you over the edge with this other company in Japan? I seriously doubt that. You know, so it's nice to do. A little bit more pay, but a lot more hours, a lot more responsibility. You got to do a lot of things that aren't fun, you know. And in the end, being an ALT, if you want it to be, and if you're not at a nightmare school, which again, that's a lot of things I said that aren't in your hands, you know, you could get a nightmare school, you could have a nightmare position, all that stuff. But in the average ALT position, the average ALT placement, you can have fun at the job if you try, right? I strongly think that, you know, there's a lot of, I know there's some edge cases, but in most cases, you can have fun at being an ALT if you want to be an ALT, right? So if you be an MC, you're not an ALT anymore, right? You're an office grunt, as they say. And one stereotype about Japan that is true is the working situation, the working hours, the work, what's required of workers is definitely true. And that is true for being an MC or manager at whatever ALT company you want to do. That's true as well. So just keep that in mind. If you want to go for it, please do. But just keep that in mind that it's not a joke. Do I look like a joke to you? It's not like that. It's a serious job that takes a lot of hours. You don't get paid that much more. Okay. So now again, these three things that he so eloquently put out much better than me. What does knowing this help you with, right? What does knowing this do? Well, it really depends on what situation you are in. If you're trying to work for JET or you already got accepted to JET, you shouldn't have listened this long because it doesn't affect you. Because, you know, you already got the aid, my friend. You're getting better pay. You have a situation where they do really support you in many ways. I've heard some nightmare stories, of course, but in most ways, they really do support you. You do have a quick email to someone that can really help, that's also a JET, that'll help you. I don't think they're going to change the schools much, but at least they can kind of, you have that hotline to help in a much better way, and you're also getting paid more, right? So if you're not JET, like most of you out there probably, if you're not in Japan yet, you're thinking about it, just know this. This is not a negative thing. All these things he's saying are not negatives, by the way. I hope that didn't come off as negative. That's just the rules of the game, right? And it took me a while to know these rules, to figure it out, because it took me years probably. But now, since Artist Fall put this video out, you don't have to, right? You don't have to take years for you. You already know it. You can go into the ALT job saying, hey, I'm here to do my job the best I can, of course. But I'm also here to, I also know I can't do this forever. I'm in a position where I'm not in a place where I can move up in the company very easily, or very, it's not very beneficial if I do. I also know that my goal, the goal of my company here, is to make the POEs happy, not to make me happy. And I also know that I'm probably not going to get a raise and stuff, right? So I should be working towards my next thing, right? How many times have I said that? Working towards your next thing is key when you're being an ALT. And I know some of you out there, again, those situations I hear you guys. I know you guys are out there that don't have, there is nothing else. They can't move anywhere else. They're stuck in some situation where they can't do anything else. I know that. I feel for you, my friends. If you want to come on the show, by the way, I would love to hear your story on the show, because some people might be interested in how those situations come up. But most of you out there, especially if you haven't been in Japan yet, like I said, this group I'm talking to right now, you definitely know that when you start becoming an ALT, it's not like, yeah, I'm an ALT, cool, let's just do this. It should be, hey, I'm an ALT now, and I have a lot of free time, usually. I hate talking about working in Japan as an English teacher, because there's so many usuallys and every situation is different, blah, 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 but I got to say it, right? I'm not going to give you any crap here. I'm going to give you the straight stuff. So you know that you have to be working towards your next thing all the time. That should be on your mind. You're an ALT now. Forget about that. Do that from your hours that you walk into the school, you leave the school, and now you're not ALT anymore. What are you doing, right? Because if it's putting on Netflix, that is not being effective. Of course, you don't know, when you first get to Japan, you're in that honeymoon period. You're going to be enjoying time there for a while. Okay, I'll give you that, my friend. Everyone does that. But once you settle in, once you decide, hey, I'm not going to be here for just a year, I'm interested in being a translator one day, I'm interested in doing this one day, I'm interested in this one day, you got to start working towards it right away, you know? And that's it, right? That's what it takes. That's what, if you want to be someone that doesn't teach all your life in Japan, it takes using your time wisely. And you got to have that fire. Like, you got to want to do it seriously. It can't be this thing where, like, well, I'll get another job someday. It can't be like that. Just like when you want to learn Japanese, the people that speak Japanese the best, they had that fire. At some point in their life, they had the fire. And it was like the end of their life if they couldn't speak Japanese as soon as possible. That's what you got to be like too. Enjoy teaching and be the best ALT you can, you know? That's what I did when I was the ALT. I was like, I'm going to try to make it best I can, you know? Check out the website, million stuff for you there. How to make sure you can do that best you can, ALTinsider.com, okay? But, you know, after that, you can't be an ALT forever, right? You have to be working towards your next step. Now, what is that? It's different for everybody. But if you want to stay in Japan, for the high majority of you, it does involve learning Japanese. And you got to have that fire. You got to. If you don't have the fire, I almost want to say, like, just don't try, you know? Stay in ALT for a while. Go back to your home country, right? Or if you're good at IT, you can find a job in Japan that doesn't require it. Maybe you can find an awesome university job. All opportunities, right? It's not like you just leave. It was kind of too much. I shouldn't have went that far. But if you don't have the fire for it, maybe it's not worth trying. Okay. But anyways, that was the people that, what can you do with this information if you weren't an ALT? If you weren't an ALT yet, you're going to be an ALT in the future, right? Now you know some stuff, valuable information, right? You know what you're getting into. It's not as bad as people say. It's only bad for people that just bitch about everything and like, oh, we're not getting paid enough. You know, oh, this, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you're not going to make $1 million being an ALT. It's an entry-level position. It never promised to be anything more than that. It never promised to be a career. Are there raises? No. Is there job security? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. You know, that's just part of the game. So if you want an entry-level job in Japan and you want to be a teacher as an ALT, hey, you got to accept those things. If you can't accept those things, don't do it. Maybe being a Kiowa teacher is a little better for you. Maybe being, I don't even know. Maybe going to Japan for 3 months for a while is better for you, just to check it out and see if it's something you want to do long term, right? You don't have to jump into being an ALT. It's not the only way to work in Japan as an entry-level person. You can try Eikaiwa. You can go visit. But now you know a little bit more information about it. I wish I had that information, because it would let me find my kind of happy place of teaching faster. Because as a, you know, kind of career refresher, I was an Eikaiwa teacher, hated it, quit, and said, if I don't find another job, I'll leave. I'll go home. I hated being a kind of teacher, by the way, just for context, and it hasn't caught up all the 400 episodes or whatever. I didn't like it because too much sales, right? Just too much sales. It was too much sales pressure all the time. Hey, James, you sell the book yet? Hey, James, you sign him up for the next contract yet? Yeah, I was like, whoa. You know, I was like, that's kind of a, this is too much. So I said, okay, I'll find another job. If I don't find another job, I'll leave Japan. That'll be the end of my Japan time. But I found a job being LT, and I was like, wow, this job is awesome. You know, I'm getting paid this much to do this, and I have so much free time. I was studying Japanese like a champ. I loved it. Then 2 or 3 years later, it's not as good as I thought. I kind of getting bored here. And, you know, I'm not getting paid a lot and stuff like that. I started feeling the negative sides. But then you learn the game, right? You learn how to play. You learn the only thing you have to do is make sure your JTs are happy. If your company's not calling you, they're happy with you. And I learned that if I had fun in class, it was also more fun for me. Then I started LTInsider.com, had a few extra goals come up, but that's what it was like for me. But if I knew all this stuff, you know, I kind of probably wouldn't have got so down because I already would have been working towards my next step, right? Because the only reason I went to my next step or got that fire in me to go to that next step after being an LT was because I was kind of like, hey, I don't want to do this long term, right? And that's what got that fire going to me. So what's going to get the fire going in you? I don't know. But it's going to be something, right? So stuff to think about for sure. Again, go watch his video, please, because it's good. It's definitely one of those things where no bullshit. You know, it's one of those things. Like, I really thought, guys and gals out there, I was like, how can I add more value to people trying to work in Japan, right? Because I've covered a lot of stuff, you know. I covered while you're teaching how to be a good teacher. It's all on the website. I covered after you're a teacher, try to find your next job. I covered how to become a translator. I have a whole guide on the website. I talked about how to get a job in the beginning, like resumes, interviews, stuff like that. I covered all that. I was like, what can I add, you know? What more can I cover to make, you know, LT Insider as complete as possible? And I just didn't think about, like, Artisaval, again, saying the name totally wrong, he did it. You know, he's like, yeah, this is stuff, like, information people need. And I don't know why I didn't think about to say it myself. He said it much better than me and much, you know, he had that perspective that was awesome. That's the information you need. I hope he keeps making stuff because it's awesome. So go watch his video again. If nothing else, go watch his video because it's good. Before I leave you go, though, another piece of, you know, working in Japan content I do want to talk about briefly here, already over the 20-minute mark, was not expecting that, was from Interact itself, Link Careers, I think is the website, is the YouTube channel name. I will talk about that for sure. I will put it up there on the show notes page again, ldinsider.com/thepodcast. You can find it there. But I put some few notes. They had a video called The Top 5 Interact Myths. And give them props for putting out stuff, right? Whether you agree with what they say or not, I want to say that I am in favor of this new Interact putting out, you know, stuff on the internet about them. Because the more information that people have, the more they can interact with the company, I think it's better, right? So before we even get into it, props to them. Right, props for them to spending the money to do that. If they are spending money, I hope the people making it are getting paid at least. So let's talk about the top 5 Interact myths, right? This is not as much of a hard watch. Like, I'm definitely recommending you watch it as the previous video I talked about because it's not as cool. So the first Interact myth is that you're getting ripped off by Leo Palace by Interact. So for anyone new to the industry, Leo Palace is a chain of apartment buildings that Interact has partnered with to give you supposedly cheaper rent, and you know, they'll set you up with an apartment right away. When you work with Interact, they give you an apartment right away, and you got to pay whatever the rent is automatically. In the past, it has been confirmed. I do have confirmation on this. In the past, I want to make sure I'm bolding that, underlining it, quotation marking it, quoting it, everything I can do. In the past, there was proven history of Interact saying your rent is $800 a month, let's say, but actually it was $600 a month and they were getting the other $200. Whether you think that's ethical or not, that's up for you, up to you. Finding apartments for people to live in is a job that requires time and effort. So that's, again, that is up to you. If you think that is a ethical thing or not, be interested to hear what you think. Let me know on Twitter. Is that ethical or not? So, and that was, again, in the past. I haven't heard any stories of that recently. I haven't checked either, but, you know, they said that's that. I haven't heard of that recently, right? So they said they're not getting ripped off because Leo Palace and Interact, they work together to find a good place to rent. To be honest, when I worked at Interact, they found me at Leo Palace and it was totally fine. So again, this is one of the myths that I think it probably is one of those four letter words, ESID, that it depends on your situation, right? Because for me, I had a great situation. Interact, you know, I got a great apartment that was $400 a month, and it was small, but it was fine, and it was close to my schools, and I can't complain. Some people, of course, maybe they couldn't find one close to their schools they like, or they couldn't find one as cheap as schools they like, and it's not so good. I don't think it's good to just assume ripped off. But again, I know in the past they were taking a cut of those payments, and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there's some benefit to them working with Leo Palace, right? But I don't think, assuming that is bad is not something I want to do. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt there. Number two, the second myth of Interact was that they are prorated salaries. Of course, this used to be true. It's no longer true. They lowered the amount of pay you get every month, so there is no more prorated months, blah, blah, kind of an easy one. The third one, you will only live in the countryside. Again, not true. It wasn't true for me. I lived in a medium-sized city. A lot of people live in medium-sized cities. Of course, there's more countryside positions. Let's not kid ourselves there. But there is, of course, there's Interact ALTs in Tokyo, and there's Interact ALTs in Osaka, I'm guessing. I know they're in Tokyo. I don't know about Osaka, but they're a big city. So, yes. But one quote they said I really want to talk about is mobility is a bit of a... They said you'll be able to request a transfer. And I was like, yeah, that's true. You can request transfers, and they do honor those from time to time. But sometimes you got to transfer, and it's not a request. So, like me, when I worked with Interact, they lost the contract at the city that I was at, so I had to move. You know, so it's like mobility was I could have requested mobility, but I didn't want mobility, but I got it anyway. So just keep that in mind. That goes for any Aikawa position that you can, of course. The company you're working for can lose the contract, and then you got to move. So that's one of those negative parts about being in an entry level position, which is exactly what being an ALT is. Okay, remember that. Number four point was you can't live on that salary. And they brought up some stats about how entry-level job in Japan is between, you know, $2,000 or $2,200 US a month and stuff. And indirect salary is in that range. So it's like, you know, hey, we're paid as much as the normal entry-level position in Japan. The problem is, for some reason, a lot of people online and people in Japan think ALT position is not an entry-level position, but it is. And there's no possibility of getting raised that much. Modest raises are possible, but let's get real. No one's getting rich being ALT. So again, I agree with him on this totally. You can definitely live on the salary that you are an ALT as long as you're not expecting to feed a family of four and you know, all this stuff, you know. Again, and I like how they said the entry-level job in Japan because that's exactly what being an ALT is. If you don't accept this, that's not their problem. It is an entry-level position. So even if you've been there for 10 years on a one-year contract every single year, you know, every time you're signing that one-year contract, it's an entry-level position. So, hey, again, it's all about that knowledge, right? If you accept it, it's fine. If you don't accept it, then you're going to have problems. Next, you can't be an ALT forever. Don't waste your time. Someone commented, hey, you can't be an ALT forever. Don't waste your time doing it. And they did this one the best, I think. They did mention about how you could move up in the company, which again, as the artist of all stated, it's not really a good path to take because you get a barely more money for way more hours. However, they did point out that the work-life balance that being ALT provides you does give people an opportunity to do other things. I love this, right? Exactly what we're talking about. Interact knowledge that, hey, if you want to be an ALT, it's not forever, but you can work towards your next thing while being an ALT. And that's the exact approach everyone should be taking. I know there's people out there slamming their phones on the ground saying, hey, I got to work 6 classes a day. I'm too tired and stuff like this. I know. But if you want to not do that forever, you're going to have to put some work in, right? Nothing comes easy, right? I know you might have 6 classes. And I'll tell you, when I got 6 classes for like 5 days a week, I was like, all right, I can't be an ALT anymore. That's the path I took because I was like, all right, I'm out. But for some of you out there, even if you might not be able to make that choice so quickly, you might have to, okay, now it's time for me to start picking up my Japanese study, you know. Now it's time for me to get my master's in teaching so I can get a university job. That's the stuff you got to do, and I love how Interact pointed that out. That was really cool for me. So whether or not you agree with all those points, that's up to you. You know, I'm 50-50. I think all of them can be taken different ways. There's probably truth to some of them and not truth to some of them, whatever. But again, interact. They do what they promise. They do what they tell. They are what they said they were. You know, that's what else can you ask for? No problems with interact at all. And I had no problems with BNLT. As long as this episode is all about this, being knowledgeable about what you're getting into, right? And if you know that, the better time you can have, the better career you could have, and the more and the happier your BOE is going to be. That means and remember, when your BOE is happy, your dispatch company is happy, you know? And that's the key point, my friends, is that knowing what you're getting into goes a long way. And being an ALT, is it a perfect job? Hell no. Is any job a perfect job? Hell no. Is it a great way, a great thing to do to get yourself into Japan, to start your working in Japan journey? Hell yes. The thing I think it's kind of tough is it's not some kind of goal line becoming an ALT. I think so many people take it as a goal line. It's really a start line, right? Once you become an ALT, now you got your ticket, right? And what are you going to do with your ticket into Japan, right? That's what's most important. Because it doesn't mean anything that you have a ticket to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. You got a ticket, you're in. Now what, right? You got to do something with a ticket to make sure you're having the most fun as you can have and the best career you can have in the Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory of Japan, right? So, I talked enough. 34 minutes. Wow, I didn't expect that at all, but I was on fire tonight. So, hope you enjoyed that. Again, love to hear what you think about everyone out there. Go watch the videos. I'll put the links on ALTInsider.com. Let me know, guys, what you think. Discord is probably the fastest way to reach me. I'll put a link to that as well in the show notes page. You can find ALTInsider.com, of course. Discord is bumping right now. But Twitter's fine as too. I always post everything to Facebook, though my Facebook use has gone way down. It just is almost dead for me. But it just I don't want to read anything there myself, so I don't have the energy to post things there. But hey, I still post the show, so if that's where you are, feel free to send me a message. But Discord, Twitter, of course, better. But that's it, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Be back next week for the final episode of 2020. But until then, three words. Have more fun.
Thanks for listening to the Inside Japan podcast. If you would like to keep the discussion going, have any questions, or want to read hundreds of articles about having more fun while living in Japan, head to ALTInsider.com. To find your first or next job in Japan, head to jobsinjapan.com and sign up today. Check back often, as you never know when your next job will go online. See you next time here on Inside Japan. Jobs in Japan.